ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिकी असाधु साधुतादायिन् अतिनीचोच्चतारक हानमुंच कदाचिन्मां प्रेम्णा हृत्कंठयो स्फुर। ओ श्रीमद्भागवतम, ओ गिवर ऑफ सेंटलीनेस टू द अनसेंटली, ओ अपलिफ्टर ऑफ द वेरी फॉलन, प्लीज डू नॉट एवर लीव मी, प्लीज बिकम मैनिफेस्टेड अपॉन माई हार्ट एंड माई थ्रोट एकम्पनीड बाय प्योर लव ऑफ कृष्ण। योऽन्तः प्रविश्य ममवाचमिमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरस्वधाम्ना अन्यांश हस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्। माय डियर लॉर्ड, यू आर ऑल पावरफुल। आफ्टर एंटरिंग विद इन मी यू हैव एनलाइवन्ड ऑल माय स्लीपिंग सेंसेस, माय हैंड्स, लेग्स, इयर्स, टच सेंसेशन, लाइफ फोर्स एंड एस्पेशली माय पावर ऑफ स्पीच। लेट मी ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ऑबेसेंसेस अनटू यू। So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 58. Karmani arabhate yena puman iha vihaya tam amutra anyena देहेन जुष्टानि सह यत् अश्नुते कर्माण्यारभते येन उमान् इह विहायतम् अमुत्राण्येन देहेन जुष्टानि स यत् अश्नुते कर्माण्यारभते येन पुमान् इह विहायतम् अमुत्राण्येन देहेन जुष्टानि स यदश्नुते कर्माण्यारभते येन पुमान् इह विहायतम् अमुत्राण्येन देहेन जुष्टानि स यदश्नुते।
जुष्णानि स यदश्नुते
कर्माण्यारभते येन
कर्माण्यारभते येन पुमानि हरिहायतम् अमुद्राण्येन देहेन जुष्टानि स यदश्नुते कर्माणि फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज आरभते begins to perform yena by which puman a living entity iha in this life vihaya giving up tam that amutra in the next life anyena another Dehena, by a body. Jushtani, the results. Saha, he. Yat, that. Ashnute, enjoys. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The results of whatever a living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. Purport. A person generally does not know how one body is linked with another body. How is it possible that one suffers or enjoys the results of activities in this body in yet another body in the next life? This is a question the king wants Narad Muni to answer. How may one have a human body in this life and not have a human body in the next? Even great philosophers and scientists cannot account for the transfer of karma from one body to another. As we experience, every individual soul has an individual body, and one person's activities or one body's activities are not enjoyed or suffered by another body or another person. The question is, how the activities of one body are suffered or enjoyed in the next. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत श्रीराधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विशभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, in particularly His Grace Jananivas Prabhu and all the other Prabhupada disciples who are here, I feel quite out of place. I feel my place is at their lotus feet to hear from them. That is what Srila Prabhupada has advised us. When we go to a holy place, we should hear from the holy men who reside in the holy place. But this is an instruction to me to perform this service so that I can, for the glorification of the Lord and for the purification of my own filthy heart, I'll endeavor to speak something about from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have been following this section of Srimad Bhagavatam from the fourth canto. Actually, this is a section which is like very deeply embedded within my heart. Basically because I can quite identify with King Prachini Barhi myself. And more importantly because when I joined the Brahmachari Ashram, this was the section which was actually going on in our temple where I come from. This was the exact section which was going on, fourth canto, the pastimes of King Prachini Parishat and the allegorical story of King Puranjan. So somehow, let me see whether I can do some justice. So we see in the past series of verses that Narad Muni, in his very typical style, Narad Muni, in the last few days, I don't know everyone's name, so I don't recall the devotee's name, but he said, Narad Muni is a transcendental spaceman traveling throughout the three universes. And he has his typical style of, as his name suggests, Narada. He gives Narayan to everyone he meets, and nothing less than Narayan, nothing short of pure devotional service. Even if somebody may be engaged in so-called in the evolution through the different systems which the Vedas give, we gradually evolve to the ultimate goal of pure devotional service. But if Narad Muni sees somebody who is engaged in some lower pursuits, he tries to uplift that person immediately to the platform of pure devotional service. And we have seen in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam right from the first canto, none other than Vyasadev himself, which Janivas Prabhu mentioned the other day. Vyasadev himself was despondent because he had given so many other methods. He had propounded so many methods in the Vedas which actually bolstered the natural inherent tendency of a living entity to engage in various fruitive activities. And he was despondent, and Narad Muni quite heavily tells him that you have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is the reason for your despondency. So similarly, Narad Muni is seeing here King Bharishma. He is engaged in so many fruitive activities apparently, and in the previous verses we see that after Narad Muni has made his point very clearly, and as they say, the coin finally drops, and King Bharishma, he says, how come I have never heard something like this from my teachers? How is it that I was never told by my teachers? They are also well versed in the Vedas. How come they never told me this? And then he says that I can now understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. So here we see that actually it seems that he has understood everything. It's very clear in his mind what Narad Muni wants him to do and everything. And then he brings up today's verse. King Bhishman says, the results of whatever a living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. So when I was reading, suddenly I thought, what is this? You know, one moment he is saying that, okay, I understand, there is no question of sense gratification, you know, devotion to the Lord is the supreme, I understand. But then suddenly he brings up a topic which is like apparently not connected to the previous topic, previous verse at all. He's talking about something about, you know, results of whatever living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. So he brings up the topic of karma, the cycle of karma. And I was left thinking, I mean, why is he bringing this up here now? So I could think about two possible ways that we could understand this. So I would just share with you. So one way is, if you understand that Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, all mundane methods of spiritual advancement, all other dharma projita, all other dharmas are kicked out. Dharma pra ujjita. Ujjita means kicked out. Pra ujjita means perfectly kicked out. Dharma projita kaitava. All cheating religions are kicked out. So therefore, when we read the pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, again as previously in one of the comments, some devotees mentioned that we have to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam in its totality, not just take isolated incidents, individual lines out of the purports, but in its totality we have to understand that whatever is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever Srila Prabhupada has given us in the purports, in Bhaktivedanta purports, they are meant only for one thing, and that is to take the conditioned living entity and from his conditioned state to elevate him to the position of pure devotional service. So apparently they may be mundane. They might seem to be quite mundane activities with the different characters through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that we read, they might be performing. But they are not mundane. They are giving us, just like, you know, we see so many times, even in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun, he is acting like a bewildered person. He's acting like a bewildered person. But he's a Nitya Siddha associate of the Lord, an eternal associate of the Lord. How can an eternal associate of the Lord be bewildered? He's not bewildered. He's playing a role of a bewildered living entity in order for us to understand. It is for us. Similarly, we see in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Parikshit Maharaj, and the scene is quite urgent. It's a quite urgent situation. Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body in 7 days, and Sukadeva Goswami is talking to him about pure devotional service to Krishna. So we have to understand that whatever Sukadeva Goswami is going to speak, he's not going to speak anything mundane. So he's not, when he brings in this topic of King Bhishman performing apparently karmakand ritualistic activities, there is a very, very solid reason behind it. There is a very solid reason behind it. It is more for our understanding that how it is very easy to get swayed into such activities and such performances. And time and again we see this theme coming up in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one way I saw it and looked at it was that generally when people, they come to Krishna consciousness. So we tell them so many things, they understand. But still the conditionings are so strong. So they come up with, you know, some queries. They come up with certain queries. They all keep coming back to the same queries. So here, one way I saw that King Bhishman is asking this question is that He's saying that how come that, you know, this life I perform something, next life I enjoy. How do you explain this? So again, it is like from Srila Prabhupada, it reminded me of pastime from Srila Prabhupada's life when he was a student at the Scottish Church's colleges. And this is a classic example of how people who want to, you know, stay away or basically not get into devotional service or in any way get into the practice of performing devotional service to the Lord, they bring up so many questions. So when Srila Prabhupada was a student at Scottish Church's colleges, when Prabhupada says, one of the professors criticized the Vedic teachings of karma and transmigration of the soul. In a court of law, one cannot be prosecuted for a crime unless there is a witness. Similarly, he argued, although according to the Hindus, the soul suffers in his present life for the misdeeds of his past life, where is the witness to these misdeeds? Abhay was displeased to hear this criticism and he knew how to refute it. But being only a student, he had remained silent. Socially, he was inferior and a student had little scope to challenge a professor. But he knew that the professor's argument against karma was insubstantial. He knew there was a witness. And again, Prabhupada says in the purport today, even great philosophers and scientists cannot account for the transferal of karma from one body to another. There is this famous statement which this professor from Moscow University made to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, when the body dies, the owner of the body dies along with the body. And Prabhupada was thinking, I mean, this person is calling himself to be such a learned professor in this university, and all he has to do is, all he has to say is something which even Tangawala, somebody is driving a horse-drawn carriage in India, not supposed to be a very educated person, but even that person understands that there is a cycle of karma and I have to suffer or enjoy the deeds which I perform in this life, in my next life. So such kind of people, they are going around talking about big things, like even Janya Asprabhu mentioned in his class. They are actually, Prabhupada hammered this professor who had come to meet him. They are not teachers, they are cheaters. And they come up with such arguments time and again to somehow avoid, you know, they keep asking, let me bring up something else, let me bring up something else. And actually, it is like a great legacy that Srila Prabhupada has left to us, that when there are people who doubt such statements, who lay such doubts, then it is a legacy that Srila Prabhupada has left us in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, that we have to spread this knowledge all over the world. Like Prabhupada would always ask, there is this famous statement when Prabhupada was at MIT. He says, where is that department? Where in this university is there a department to teach scientifically the difference between a living body and a dead body? So there are big institutions, big universities all over the world talking about so many things, but nobody is talking about what is the difference, a basic thing about what is the difference between a living body and a dead body. And Prabhupada was very heavy on this. And it is, as he has left, it is our legacy that we have got from Srila Prabhupada. This Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada mentioned, will be remembered as the movement which saved the world in its darkest hour. And how will this happen? Srila Prabhupada gave us all his books, and it is for us to spread this information, this knowledge to all the people all over the world. Therefore, it gives me great joy whenever I come to Mayapur and see devotees from all over the world. They come here, study at the Mayapur Institute, and they rejuvenate themselves, study Srila Prabhupada books, go back to their countries and they are preaching. So many devotees I meet from various countries, as far flung as Siberia. In fact, devotees, I mean, there are so many devotees from Russia, Ukraine, they may not be understanding the language, but they come, they study, they have a translator, they have classes in Russian. It's an amazing thing. The devotees come here, and from here they take this legacy which Srila Prabhupada has given us, this treasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to take it and spread. Because that is the need of the hour. There are people all over the world. That is the need of the hour. They are just all over the world trying to, you know, it's like, again, not only all over the world, but all over India. Like again, Jani Vasprabhu mentioned, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted Srila Prabhupada, that if you scratch a Hindu, if you scratch little deep enough, you'll find there's a Mayavadi hidden. So we need this. We need this particular knowledge. And armed with this knowledge, we have to go out. Because there will be always doubting souls. There are people all over the world. Like King Bharishman is playing that role here. He is a doubting soul. And after saying that I understand, still he is bringing up the point of karma. It seems that he still has not got it entirely. Once he said, like, it's not like Arjun, when he says, I understand, and then he says, Karishye vacharam tava, okay, I will do whatever you say. But here he is like, after he is saying, I understand that devotional service is highest, but still, can you please explain this? How do you explain this? So here you can see, from one perspective that I saw, King Bharishman is playing the role of a person who has some doubts. On another side, looking at it from another perspective, we can see King Bharishman, that's how the two aspects. One is playing the role of a doubting person, trying to raise up some more questions and trying to avoid actually practicing. But another perspective which came to my mind was that, okay, he says, I have understood, and now that I have understood, as Lord Krishna says in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So, okay, now I have understood, but now I have some questions. So he is humbly putting forward his question. So I have now some questions, some doubts are still remaining. So this is the aspect that we have to understand as practicing devotees. This is the part that we have to take for ourselves in order for us to practice. And that is, there will be definitely many doubts which keep rising in our mind. When we read Srila Prabhupada books, when we read purports, when we hear classes, many things which might create some conflicts within us. But as practicing devotees, we have to take this aspect that King Bharishman is presenting, and that is, I have understood and I realize that it is like, you know, I can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, renunciation and all that. And I had some doubts about them, but you have kindly dissipated all these doubts. And then he is surrendering to the lotus feet of the personality, Narad Muni, his guru. And then he is saying, but pariprashnena sevaya. Humbly he is putting forward his doubts, that I have some certain questions that I can I ask you about that. So this is like the two aspects that I thought. It's like, you know, similar situation, but depending upon from where we are looking at it. Either we can look at King Bharishman as a person who just wants to avoid it and he's just bringing up newer and newer questions. Or he surrendered and he's looking and he's saying, okay, so now I am surrendered to you and please can you clear these doubts for me. So one aspect is that this, when we look at ourselves, for ourselves we have to practice the second aspect, where we have to humbly surrender at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas and beg for their mercy and ask them if we have any queries or doubts. And most importantly, as we experience, every individual soul has an individual body, Prabhupada says at the end. And one person's activities or one body's activities are not enjoyed or suffered by another body or another person. So, most importantly here is, in the next verse actually, King Bhishman is going to ask, he is going to elaborate further on his question. He elaborates further on his question and he asks more. So Tadvidhi Pranipatina Pariprashnina Sevaya. And then Narad Muni, because he is a learned sage and he has seen the absolute truth, he will reveal the truth to King Bhishma. And similarly, we will have the great opportunity of hearing from His Holiness Bhaktivedyapunda Swami Maharaj tomorrow. And therefore, I don't want to break the suspense. It's a very interesting verse and Prabhupada gives very interesting answer to these questions thrown up by King Bhishman. And just as King Bhishman is praying at the lotus feet of Narad Muni, I look forward personally myself, and I am sure all of you all look forward to hearing from His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami Maharaj tomorrow on this verse. So I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any corrections, any comments, they are most welcome. Questions, I will try to answer to the best of my capabilities.
Hare Krishna. One of the 10 offenses is to preach to a faithless person. So in my experience of this story of the king, he just seems like very faithless, because Narada Muni keeps telling so many stories and so many things one after the other, and he doesn't seem to be getting it. So my question is, how do we distinguish when somebody is really faithless, or if somebody really has genuine doubts, and even speaking for myself, and when am I just not, I'm not putting my faith in Krishna, and when I'm actually genuinely have my doubts about something.
So,
and I need more answers.
As I understand that, what you're asking is, how do we distinguish between somebody is actually a faithless person and somebody who has got some genuine doubts? So this distinction can be made, as I mentioned, if somebody who is a genuine person, who has got genuine doubts, then the way he presents those doubts will make all the difference. Because, as I said in my class, having doubts is universal. Everybody has doubts. That's the nature of the conditioned soul. But then, if you are a genuine seeker, you are inquisitive about knowing of those, what is the explanation for those doubts, you are genuinely inquisitive, then the way you approach a person, or the way those doubts are put forward, as Krishna says, Pariprashnena Sevaya. It's service. Those questions are put forward not as challenging questions. We can always make out the tone. And the questions come more as challenges rather than, genuinely seeking some answers. It's just like, they are more like statements rather than questions. They end not with question mark, they end with a full stop, more like an exclamatory mark. This is what I feel. This is what it is. They don't come with a question mark at the end. There's no question mark at the end. It is more exclamation. This is what I feel. This is what it is. It may sound as a statement. So that was what actually, if we see here, this particular verse, that is what made me feel that way. When King Bhishman, what I said, the first aspect of how King Bhishman, how we can look at this verse. Because this is like not put forward as a question. It is like, it's a statement. The results of whatever a living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. It's a statement. Period. That's it. So first I was a little stumped. And I was wondering. So that was what brought that aspect. That maybe, we can look at it this way, that he's still not convinced. He's still putting something new. Okay, now he is pulling something out of his bag. Now, what about this? And what about this?
But when we talk to people, when we talk to devotees, that is very clearly understandable in the way they approach us, in the way they put forward their questions. Whether it is to actually show off how much I know, see the scope and the breadth of my knowledge, or whether it is a humble inquiry, whether it is a genuine doubt, that is quite apparent in the way it is presented. So I feel, I mean, does it satisfy? Thank you. Any other questions? Chaitanya Prabhu, any comments or corrections? Pankaj Angri Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. I have a question that you mentioned that most Indians, they know this about karma. So I just don't understand why there is so many thieves and bad people in India. Because if you know karma, then why to do that?
Actually, to be very frank, if you ask me on this particular thing, to be very frank, Prabhupada mentioned this, you know, when he met Professor Katowski. That's what I said. Most Indians, I quoted actually Prabhupada. This was Prabhupada's thought that even a tangawala, not a very well educated person who is driving a horse drawn carriage on the street, he will be able to understand because they are not so educated. So what he meant was somebody is not educated, and even at that time, around 40, 50 years ago, even at that time, this was like, you know, education in India was not like if somebody was just 10th grade pass, he was like highly educated, considered highly educated, in just high school pass. But the term Pandit, you know, which means a real scholar, was not reserved to somebody with SSC pass. Pandit was given to actually somebody who has gone to Gurukul, a Pathshala, where they taught Sanskrit, learned the scriptures, studied the scriptures, and who is actually practicing them to certain extent. That was a Pandit. Some people in India, some famous politicians may append that title to their name, but that is quite doubtful how much Pandit they were. But actually Pandit was somebody who had studied the scriptures. That was a Pandit, that was a scholar. SSC pass was good enough to land you a job, you know. 10th standard pass was good enough to, 10th grade pass was good enough to land you a job in some city in those days. But that was not a Pandit. So the point that we have to understand is, even somebody who is not so educated, and Tangawala was like practically no schooling at all, no scriptural schooling, no material schooling, nothing, and still he knew it, because that was part of the culture, quote unquote. So if you are asking about today, I am very sad what 400 plus years of Muslim rule in India, almost 200 years of English rule in India could not achieve, has been achieved by hardly 15 to 20 years of cable television. The absolute, practically irreversible damage to Indian culture and lifestyle. Practically irreversible. And therefore we need places like Mayapur to revive this, even among Indians. Just today morning I was at the Gurukul, and that atmosphere reminded me of, you know, there are very, very, very few places left in India where we can find something like what I had the good fortune of seeing at the Gurukul here today morning, where they performed that big yajna. It's an amazing thing. So, as you said, I had quoted actually Prabhupada saying that Tangawalas are also knowledgeable about the laws of karma, and you are asking that if they are knowledgeable, then why do you have so many thieves, so many murderers, so many rapists? Very famous in India now. India has been made famous by such activities all over the world now. Why is such things happening? Because it is lost. It is being lost. So therefore, it's not only the Western people, but Indians also have to preach to the Indians. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, Janma Sarthak Kari, Bharat Bhumite Haiva Janmajar, Janma Sarthak Kari Kara Paropkar. So first we have to preach to the Indians because they are going down the drain very fast. They are on the fast track to hell. So these people actually are bereft of that knowledge. What Prabhupada was talking is more than 40 years ago, not today. Sadly, it doesn't hold true today. Someone else had a question here.
Hare Krishna. Your classmate is very relevant with our society, what's happening today in our society, Ishkan society, and materialistic society. Even though this topic of karma is not very well understood, I can see still, as we take superficially the teachings of the Bhakti Vedanta Samisum about the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, I can see myself inside Ishkan, still there is some superficial approach of Srimad Bhagavatam, thinking oneself not to be anymore influenced by the laws of karma.
Excuse me, I didn't get the last part. What was the last line you said? Thinking
oneself not to be anymore under the laws of karma. And so my question is that seeing this very light approach from our own sampradaya within our own self, is it due to influence of past karma that those devotees that don't have enough, approach or understanding or even in going deeper in the research how to make to become free from the influence of tamaguna, rajaguna, or even sattvaguna. This system, I mean, Daivi Varnasham is very powerful, but I'm very sad personally to see around myself godbrothers or even Srila Prabhupada disciples being very doubtful about their teachings of their own spiritual master. So this is it an influence of karma from past life, past activities, and they cannot get rid from this karma, or they don't want to understand about the influence of karma, or there is a sign of ignorance or sign of laziness or sign of neglectful.
You said it all, actually.
I mean, this is...
You said it all, basically. So, the way I look at it is, once somebody is taken to the process of devotional service, is taken to the process of chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, then there is no question of, you know, karma. But as Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, he said, sin no more. Even in the pastime of Jagai and Madhai, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so now, don't sin anymore. After they were purified, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now, don't sin anymore. So, basically, it's not basically as even in Brahma Samhita it is said, karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. All our sinful reactions are completely burnt up by this process of chanting the holy names. But what happens is how we practice this process, how we take to this process, and that has got several aspects to it. What kind of association we have, what kind of sadhana we have, personal sadhana, what kind of association we have, will make all the difference between whether we continue favorably and keep on progressing or we get diverted from our goal of pure devotional service, of achieving Krishna prema. So there is so many things which play a part in this. Offensive chanting, neglectful chanting, neglecting our personal sadhana. Like this Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada, we have to understand, has toiled days and nights just to give us these Bhaktivedanta purports. Like somebody mentioned the other day, I like that so much. You know, I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone, but I like that part so much that this devotee, I think in the past few days in the Bhagavatam class, he mentioned that there are many devotees, if there is a kirtan, they want to sit and they can spend hours in the kirtan. But if you tell them Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam 1 hour daily, which is actually, everyone focuses on the don'ts, the four regulative principles which are don'ts. Don't do this, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. But who focuses on the do's? There are four things which we have to be done. And that is, always associate with devotees. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. Chant the holy names of the Lord. And most important thing, whatever passes through our lips has to be prasada. So not many people, I feel, focus on the four do's. Many times whenever they talk of four regulative principles, it's mostly the don'ts. And because of such, I mean, very lax attitude towards such important aspects of devotional service, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, it ends up in lack of enthusiasm, lack of interest, which I think yesterday also came up during class about lack of enthusiasm. Narasimhanand Prabhu brought it out very nicely. So that comes up because of what we don't do, which we are supposed to do. That which we are not supposed to do, that's okay. But we don't do even that which we are supposed to do as a practice. So, I think the end is quite obvious, I mean, the result is quite obvious. And you mentioned it all actually. I'm just putting it in some different words. So we have to pray. That's all we can do. We have to pray. Very sincerely, like just like all the citizens of Navadvip, you know, they were praying, and especially, I mean, Advaita Acharya, he was seeing that what is happening in Navadvip, and all he could do, even Advaita Acharya himself, Mahavishnu, but what did he do? He just prayed to Shalinam with little Ganges water and Tulsi. That please, you come yourself. Please intervene in some way personally, so that, you know, these people in Navadvip, they can be delivered. And even later, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes as Nimai Pandit, you know, he was exhibiting his pastimes as a scholar. His devotional aspect was not revealed at that time. Even at that time, what would the devotees do? They would pray very intensely. If only this Nimai Pandit would become a devotee of the Lord, it will be so nice. So much nice preaching. So, that's all you can do. Pray intensely. Prayers have a very strong effect. I mean, I hope Janyas Prabhu or Pankajangri Prabhu would like to add something. Okay, we'll take this. We are hard. Out of time, but we'll take a last question.
My question is about the previous
it's not switched on. At the bottom there's a switch, bottom.
My question is about the previous conclusion that you summarized, that like, you know, that even after understanding, you know, he could be doubtful, genuinely doubtful, or he could be not genuinely doubtful, right? You know? So in that context, like, what is the meaning of understanding in the first place, right? You know, I mean, because when he claims that I have understood, right, you know, so it's as good as saying he has not actually understood, right?
He is very clear what he has understood. He is very clear. He said, I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. So that he is clear. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have doubt on some other topics.
No, but
some other aspect.
Yeah, but that some other aspect is a subset of this big thing, right? So, I mean, if I know the whole house, I will know the room in the house, right?
But you need not know what is placed. Like, for example, if you know the whole house, you will know where is the kitchen, you will know where is the bedroom, you will know where is the bathroom, you will know everything. But you won't know where in the kitchen is the matchbox, where in the kitchen are the knives. So that you will have to ask when you enter the kitchen. There are always details, Prabhu. Always so many details that might come up. You may not know that where in the bathroom is the soap kept, or how does the flush work, or the flush is broken. I mean, is that okay? Or?
So in summary, he's
genuinely doubtful. You still have doubts.
In summary, he's genuinely doubtful.
He's genuinely doubtful. I was just presenting the two aspects that came to my mind. You know, the two perspectives, how we can look at this thing. One perspective is he's still doubtful. He's not accepting. He's like acting as a stubborn materialist who wants to keep avoiding, you know, as Mataji asked in her question. So how do we distinguish? So when I read this verse and the translation is Prabhupada given, it sounded more like a statement to me rather than a query. So first impression after reading the translation was that, and then I read the purport, I read further few verses, then I realized, oh, it's no. He's been transformed, and now as a disciple, he's inquiring from his guru. Tadvidhi panipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So he's, according to that verse, he is inquiring further. Yes. So we will end here. It's already beyond time. Thank you very much for very patient listening. Kratra Srila Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna.